Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So, this was a pretty good week.
Yeah, you think? Like, all in all?
Well, all in all, yeah.
Okay,
all
right.
Yeah, sure. Like, yeah, some good wrestling stuff happened, but, you know, all in all, pretty good week.
I mean, I didn't really care for Raw, but that's because it had that, like...
Raw seems like such a long time ago.
That's fair.
You know, like, Raw was okay. You know, it ended with a, you know, announcement of an announcement, like...
No, yeah, that was the thing, is, like, it had that same thing of, like...
Like, they built up, like, oh, we're gonna name, you know, who's gonna be in charge of it, and it's the McMahon siblings, and, like, okay.
Well, we knew that.
Well, we assumed they would be involved somehow.
So, basically just a... And the last time they did that, it was The Rock returning, when it was announced
for
an announcement.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So it's like, okay, how do you build up to, like...
Right, so now it's like...
What else is worthy of an announcement of announcement? Because nothing. The answer is nothing.
Sure, and so now we're getting next week on Raw, the day before the draft, we're getting the GMs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are, well, some have alluded to maybe that it was leaked somehow. I forget exactly, like, how they did it. Believe that Daniel Bryan would be the GM of SmackDown.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, like, these are probably mostly just, like, the people who are in charge whenever one of the McMahons can't be there or on vacation or something.
Because
Shane hasn't been on every Raw, like...
Yeah, I guess.
And neither is Stephanie.
Yeah. Well, Shane still... And again, we don't know exactly how, you know, backstage is organized in real life now that Shane's back.
Sure.
But... Stephanie, I feel, should be there pretty much every week. Or at least Triple H should be there pretty much
sure.
every week.
And I mean, again, we don't know exactly how they're going to work because, you know, she's the head of creative.
Right.
So, you know, and again, like, everyone's like, oh, there's going to be a separate creative group. So, but if she's still, like, over all
if
of
she's
them,
still head of creative, then...
She should probably be there.
Yeah.
Now, it would be nice if there were two different heads of creative.
That's the thing. It's like, as long as you have one chief head of creative, and they're on Raw,
Right.
Then Raw's your A show, SmackDown's your B show.
Sure.
And nothing's really changed. And, you know, wasn't expecting anything to really change forever for real long term. But it would have been nice to have pretended for a whole month or so.
Sure. So I like so with everyone assuming Daniel Bryan's going to be the SmackDown GM, where does that leave Raw?
Because
I'm assuming if it's Stephanie and she's picking, she's going to pick a heel GM, unless they play into because Vince said, you know, if you don't have one by Monday, I pick one for you.
Right.
So then we could get like a you know some sort of fan favorites. A lot of people are saying Sting, and that's like the only way I could see Stephanie naming Sting as GM is if she's forced to.
Stephanie naming somebody, Triple H is the obvious answer.
Right.
And the one that makes, honestly, the most sense.
Sure.
I have heard rumors of Eric Bischoff.
Right.
Which, there was, like, a whole thing where he tweeted a, like, you know,
stay
wait and
kind
see.
Of thing, yeah.
And it was like, it's going Bischoff. And then he was like, no, I mean, it could happen. Anything could happen because that's how WWE works. And I'm a fan and I'm just watching. Which,
and basically flat out said, I'm not at Raw.
Right. And like, it was enough of a situation where it's pretty easy to be like, they're telling him, hey, don't tweet our show, dude.
Right.
But, like, that still is, it's also very possible that, you know, no. He was just like, it'd be fun to say this.
Sure. Because, and it could, you know, because some people just like to, you know, stir the pot a little bit, like not necessarily in a bad way, but kind of in like a lighthearted
right.
kind of having fun with the Twitter followers kind of thing.
And then apparently he's going to be making an appearance on WCPW.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, well, I guess if he's doing that, he probably can't make time to GM a show.
Sure.
But. I think a heel thing is most likely. I mean, the you have till, but I'll find one for you.
Right.
Is a little bit of like, oh, you know, they set that up. So Vince is going to be picking at least one of them. But how many times has WWE, like, dangled a, like, stipulation of this match?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you use, like, all right, let me use that to figure out where this is going storyline-wise. And it's like, oh, that just didn't happen. All right.
Like, so I could absolutely see the main event of Raw being like, if so-and-so face wins, then Vince gets to choose the GM for Raw. And if so-and-so heel wins, Stephanie gets to choose GM. Like, something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened at all.
Or, you know, that happens and Vince is like, I choose letting Stephanie pick because, you know, that's how Shane got the job.
Sure.
And it's like, this didn't happen and we do it anyway.
Right.
I will say, somebody pointed out online, this is the last week where SmackDown can get spoiled for you.
True.
So,
not that we would really care.
I mean, just thinking back on it, like, dude, what are your fond memories of, like, finding out SmackDown spoilers on Tuesdays, even though you weren't supposed to know until Friday?
Usually every month whenever I'm trying to make my... make the picks for pay-per-views, and I don't know if every match has been added, and I find out the spoilers from SmackDown because they'll add in some last-minute matches on there. So that's pretty much it. Super dull answer, I know. But, yeah, that's pretty much how SmackDown's been for the last forever.
Well, I mean, like, the last big one that I remember was Christian losing to Randy Orton, like, a week after he had won the world title.
There was that, and then there was...
And that kind of, like, raised this whole weird thing of, like, okay, how long has Christian been champion? Was he champion for 3 days, or was he champion for 6 days? You know, like, so it's like, okay, did he lose his championship on Tuesday, because that's what he did in real life, or did he lose his championship on Friday?
Because that's when it aired.
That's when it aired.
I mean, they probably have to go with, you know, whenever that aired, kind of thing.
I think that's what it ended up going officially. But WWE, because the spoilers were out there, was also a big deal, because that was kind of the first time where they went ahead and posted a big thing happened on SmackDown.
Sure.
On their website. They, you know, they went ahead and posted, like, Randy's the new champ, it happened on SmackDown, check it out on Friday.
Sure. And I don't know if they gave it the same treatment, but there was also whenever Del Rio won the heavyweight championship against Big Show on SmackDown, because it was the dumb ending where he just, like, it was a last man standing match, and he just lifted the commentary team table, like, on Big Show.
Yeah.
Just kind of, like, pushed it over, and that was the end of the match. I remember, like, reading the spoilers. Like, I don't remember if WWE posted the spoilers themselves, mm-hmm. or what, but that's probably, like, the last time I remember, like, you know, kind of somewhat being interested in something like that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even change mid-card belts on there anymore.
No. And
I think they should, but...
But that's the thing, is, like, it really got to, like, what's the point? You obviously can't have something exciting happen on SmackDown.
Right.
And you shouldn't. Not when you have Raw. So, but we'll see. Next week is the first live SmackDown.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess since we're talking about Raw, we should probably address the elephant in the room, and that is the Wyatts and the New Day segment. Okay, so first off...
Watching that, I was like, I should come up with a final deletion pun to call this. But
I was going to be like the deletion elephant in the room or something, but I just didn't even bother.
Well, like I was saying, I was like, the Wyatt-dull deletion, the final DeWyatt. Like, I was sitting there, and okay, good enough.
No.
I was like, I'll come up with something later. And sure. Now here it is later, and I didn't.
No, of course not. It is, because it's not worth it. First of all, this whole idea that Vince and WWE, like, live inside a glass box and don't watch anything outside of their show, they can never claim that ever again. And, like, I mean, I'm not saying, like, they watch TNA or Ring of Honor or whatever, like, every week. But when something, like, big enough is happening that it's catching, like, the attention of a lot of people, clearly they watch the Broken Matt stuff.
I will still maintain that Vince does not.
Vince himself?
Vince himself does not watch anything
possibly
outside of WWE.
But he had to have seen something to okay that.
And I think it was... Well, I think Vince...
Unless someone pitched it as their original idea, and he was like... Just, SOB, that's great, you know?
That's like, a terrible Vince.
I know. It was... I wasn't prepared.
You had so much build-up to it. And I was like, oh, wow, he's going to really pull out.
That's probably how he reacted to it, just shaking his head a lot, just like, okay.
I also think I'll probably stand by, like, the one thing Vince really cares about is his main event storyline.
Sure.
And everything else he acknowledges, but he doesn't.
Just, like, find something interesting for everyone else to do. You know,
right,
that kind of
and he's...
And then he'll give it the final okay.
Right. And so I think it was like, you know, hey, this is, you know... A new thing that they tried, and da 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 da. Sure. It's like, here's a tweet that said TNA's more relevant than WWE for the first time in years. He's like, no!
Sure.
But he's not gonna, but it's like, just give it to the Wyatts. Like, that's the thing, is like, right. It's still, they're far enough down the card, so they're far enough removed from Vince's brain.
Right, and then they're still very different, both in tone and just, it's a different kind of quality, because I don't necessarily, like, because I think we landed on last week, like, we had, I don't necessarily call it bad, you know, because it's interesting.
Well, the thing
but
is, like,
it's a different whole thing that was clearly inspired by it, but it's still its
well,
own kind of
the
thing.
Well, the thing is, I wanted to go back to, like, way back when the Wyatts first started getting vignettes.
Sure.
They were very cinematic, and we were talking about it at the time. It was like, I would watch, I absolutely wanted to see a Wyatt family, like, low-budget horror
that's
movie.
That's exactly what I had in mind when I was watching the first time. Like, it was like, this is kind of what Joel has been talking about this entire time. Kind
of. I mean, yeah, kind of, but I think if they were going to, like, do something a little more cinematic, less, like, live in front of the ring, the Wyatts are the right people to do it.
Sure.
Like, not just because of the character, but because there is a little bit of that established stuff with the way their vignettes worked initially.
And I mean, again, they've been doing that since the beginning, and specifically the their debut. You know, they did the debut, like, had that weird, like, you know, somebody, I forgot who it was, like some sort of like production assistant or something that went out to find them, and they led them through this house and all that stuff.
Right.
And the Wyatts kind of got away from that after a while. And so it's kind of like they returned to that same vibe, like that same feel. And again, obviously very much inspired by Final Deletion. But
I almost want to say it was like reminded of by Final Deletion. Just like, we were doing something like this.
Yeah. And the Final Deletion, like, shook something loose in WWE's memory. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. That's how I'll go with that.
Okay.
Because I can't be like, oh, coincidence, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's clearly there's a reason why this happened, what, like a week after the match of the Final Deletion?
But, I mean, it went as far as, like, John Cena posted something on Instagram that was very close to, if not a full endorsement.
Yeah, I forgot exactly what the character from the movie was. But it was from, like, some...
It was from Mad Max.
From Mad Max, there you go. I knew you would know it. But he very much has, like, that same hair...
Basically, it's the same hairstyle, yeah.
As Matt Hardy has... Or, excuse me, Broken Matt does. And again, like, it just kind of further, like... It kind of furthers the idea that these guys have been watching this and they're enjoying it, and as they should.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool that they are, that they're enjoying something from another promotion. Because clearly, like, you know, you see guys wearing, like, you know, New Japan shirts all the time.
Right.
Or each other's shirts for that matter. So I think it's kind of good to know that they're enjoying this too.
Well, I mean, if you love wrestling enough to, like, dedicate your life to it in any form, I feel like you do need to be aware of, like, what the rest of the industry is.
Like, and it's not so much, like, if you're trying to mimic or repeat or even plagiarize anything that someone else is doing. It's more just, like, keeping the pulse of the industry. To kind of know exactly where you stand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing, like, we should probably move on. I do want to go ahead and just dive into the mail sack real quick.
Okay.
Because our mail sack is very much about UFC 200. So we're going to go ahead and go into that.
Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack.
This comes from Joseph I'm trying to say his name correctly. Joseph Hargrove, left a comment on Inside Pulse, and he had a question for us. Well, first, like he wanted us to talk about UFC 200.
Okay.
And he has another question, but it's more towards the draft. But so I figured it's probably something we talk about anyway.
Okay.
So what's your overall feelings on 200?
UFC 200 to me is the WrestleMania 30 of UFC pay-per-views.
Right. Where, like, it was supposed to be the biggest spectacle, and it was.
It was supposed to be the biggest spectacle, and it was like, oh, we're watching the card build up, and then thing goes wrong. Mm-hmm. They're not going the right way. They did a weird thing, and you're like, I think the main event they ended up having was the fourth planned main event.
Something like that, yeah.
And we got to the point where, like, Miesha Tate barely made way in.
Yeah, like,
they're going to not make that match. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all the matches on the main card, almost without fail, were good matches.
Sure.
Which is almost unheard of. Like, yeah. There were some...
The big... I guess I don't even want to call it a bad match, but Cormier and
first match,
Daniel Cormier and
oh yeah Silva,
there you go, Anderson Silva. Like, that one was just like,
that one was, I mean, it was not an amazing match,
sure,
but there was,
but then again, like, but there was still enough where, like, you were impressed with Silva because, like, he accepted this match for like 2-3 days. Notice.
There was a lot into it. There was a lot of backstory. And, like, I felt like there was a lot of pageantry going on in the match because, sure, I cared deeply for both of these guys all of a sudden,
right,
because, you know, this one other guy managed to put both of them in a really bad situation.
Sure.
And it was almost, and like,
both guys were just like, we're just here to just put on a good show.
That's the thing, is even though they were opponents and mm-hmm. facing each other, it really felt like they were on the same team.
Sure.
Of pulling off UFC 200.
So let's just kind of get through this, give the fans something to watch.
Yeah.
And get out, you know, somewhat unscathed.
Yeah. The fact that we get a lot of guys, there's a lot of really big names in UFC. And even though a lot of the biggest names weren't there,
mm-hmm.
they very much were, you know, had their finger in the storyline, like Conor McGregor,
sure,
still was very much a part of the story of UFC 200,
right,
with who was on the card and how that's going to affect his, you know, career later on down the line.
Sure.
Same thing, Jon Jones, huge name, wasn't actually on the card, had instrumental effects on the card.
Right.
Even Ronda Rousey to some degree, because it was her title that was the main event, even though she, you know, lost been there.
Well, if we look at it this way, now we don't have to we don't have to worry about Ronda Rousey and Miesha Tate 3. She can just go ahead and just completely bypass
it. I can almost promise you, barring some sort of tragic accident or drug situation, we will get a Ronda Rousey.
Oh, sure.
Tate 3.
I mean, it's going to be a while because I think Miesha Tate's, I think they said she's going to be on the shelf for at least 6 months with the nose fracture.
But that's the thing, like, Miesha Tate now has a claim. Holly Holm still has a claim. Ronda Rousey has a claim.
Yeah.
All for, you know, a title get back.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Amanda came out there, and this was the, let's, you know, feed somebody to Miesha Tate and get Miesha Tate an
sure.
easy win. Kind of because I do think there is still this air of, you know, that title's just around somebody else's waist until Ronda Rousey comes to take it back.
Sure.
Ronda's still the only person to have successfully defended the title,
yeah.
I think. Somebody might have defended it before her. But it because of her reign and her time with it, it feels like Ronda's title until such time as Ronda decides it's not.
Yeah.
And so this match was supposed to be, it felt like, you know, as much as they were building, it was like, this is a match. It's like, well, this is a showmanship to, like, make Misha Tate feel more legitimate as a champion.
Right, but what happened is she got popped in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
And there was a solid upset, genuinely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And good for Amanda.
Absolutely.
Like, that was a well done.
Yeah, and I'm actually, like, I full on would be, you know, rooting for her in her next fight, you know, depending on who she's going up against. If she gets Ronda, I was like, sorry, Amanda. You know, if it's against Holly Holm, yeah, I'm all totally in Amanda's corner. Because I don't care about Preacher's Daughter.
I like Holly Holm.
Whatever.
I could see with Ronda getting beat a few more times.
Fair enough. But, of course, like, the main reason we talk about this is...
The reason we're allowed to talk about this on a wrestling podcast is...
Is Brock versus Mark Pause Hunt. There we go. No one was giving him that pause the entire night.
Somebody flat out, I think it was Joe Rogan at one point.
Oh, flat out, just like, nope.
It's like, come on, man.
Come on. We know you were a comedian at some point, so calm down.
So, Brock more or less proved that...
That fight should have been, like, the ref should have stepped in, right?
That was the one thing I was like, I feel like Brock has a legitimate gripe of disappointment that he... didn't get the knockout.
Right. That the ref didn't stop the fight.
Right.
Because there was especially there towards the end where it was just like, I'm like, guys, this is starting to feel kind of gross. Like, he's just pounding on his face.
And like, Mark was moving enough that like I could.
Sure.
It wasn't a travesty of referee.
No.
But it was like, oh.
But it still felt like, all right, this is going on a little too long.
It was real brutal.
You know what? Herb Dean would have stopped that. Herb Dean's the best referee UFC's got, not angry Adam Sandler.
It was really good to see, like, I thought Brock did a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing with Mark Hunt.
Yep.
He's got this thing. He's got the punch. Like, he's got that punch right, the match is over.
Right, and Brock respected it.
He did.
And, you know, they talked a lot about how Hunt had a really good takedown defense, and mm-hmm. then Brock was like, oh, does he now? Four takedowns.
Well, that's the thing is, were this a WWE match, it was going to be like, I can take the knockout punch.
Sure.
But I'm... You know, if it had been more boisterous and I am the man, but it wasn't. And mm-hmm. Brock seemed well aware, like, one bad punch from this guy,
yeah.
that's the end of your that's the end of the match, and that's pretty much the end of your UFC career.
Sure. Yeah.
Because if he had come in and gotten knockout punched, that would have been like, oh, okay, it was nice that you came back for 200 in a little vanity match, but that kind of, I feel like that would have been it. Now it's, okay, what else... You know, right. Might he want to do.
Because now we're just like, well, he still looks like he belongs there.
Mm-hmm.
What could, like, because again, like, Hunt was ranked, I think, 7th? I think he was...
Maybe. He was not in the top 5, but he was in the top 10.
Sure, but yeah, in the heavyweight division. So it's like, if you can beat somebody in the top 10 rankings... You can't really say that, oh, he doesn't really deserve to be there. You know, yeah. You would, like, I would probably feel a bit more confident about that statement if it was somebody a little higher up and mm-hmm. someone that wasn't 41 years old.
I mean, I can easily say Brock got super pushed to the title because of the name.
In his initial run, yeah.
Yeah, I think he had one victory under his belt before he went to... for the title.
Yeah. Was it UFC 100 that he won?
I don't know.
He was in UFC 100.
He was in UFC 100, and that one had the biggest buy rate.
Right.
But I think he only had one victory before being in a title match. Which, you know, Brock got super pushed for the title because
of
the
victory. Sure.
Look, I mean, there's no real way around that.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely entertain arguments that Brock does not deserve to be in the title picture. But can't swinging in the UFC is, there's really
no
argument there.
And honestly, I, as much as I enjoy him in WWE, I would like to see him do at least another match in UFC.
That dude looks so happy when he's in
that's what I'm saying. Like, he looked like he was at home beating the crap out of somebody.
I love watching him in WWE, and I think having that, like,
there was just, like,
super, you know, mighty power coming in from above.
Yeah, because I'll go ahead and say it. Like, those first couple minutes of the first round, Brock looked about as close to nervous as Brock could look. You know, like, I'm not saying he was full on nervous, because he could reach through the internet and choke the crap out of me right now. But, like, that's about as close as Brock looks like he would get to being nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the expression on his face when they announced him as the winner, like,
he
was happy, and that bothered me.
Like, there was, like, sitting between the rounds and just, like, relax, you know, just in that little rest minute, and you could start to see him, like, okay.
Sure.
He knows what he's doing. This is, mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what the Duke was born to do.
He was born to not the, and it was such a moment where even I was just, like, listening to his post-match interview, and I'm like, you know what? He's convinced me. Maybe we should give Peace a chance.
And I feel like, you know what? Who am I to be like, no, you have to entertain me with the pageantry, which you're not as good at.
Sure.
Instead of doing this part that you excel at.
Right.
So,
And someone's saying, like, him fighting is his pageantry. Like,
it is. Yeah. And the way he moves in the ring / octagon, like, whichever one you want.
It is one of those things where it's like, you know, a lot of times Brock is just kind of like the guy at the top of the mountain that people are trying to knock off. So then you watch him in UFC, like, oh, he's super quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like me specifically, like, I felt like I kind of forgot that a little bit.
Yeah.
So even I watched all of his UFC fights in his original run, so I should have known. But then watching it now, it's just, I was reminded of that. And just, I suddenly felt terrified for Hunt.
Yeah. If this was a WWE match, there would have been a "you still got it" chant.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, I feel like, and again, like, I don't know exactly what his contract situation is. I feel like he's probably got at least another year.
Yeah.
I want to say.
Did I put Brock and Rock on my WrestleMania predictions again?
Maybe.
I hope I did, because I'm really starting to feel like
they're going
to
finally go ahead and get that out before Brock leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I could see Brock kind of, like, fulfilling his commitments to WWE and then going right back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we talked about with the Randy Orton thing, where it's like, well,
yeah, or not. Or he could just go back to Canada and farm.
Yeah.
Because he seems very content with doing that.
Yeah.
Now that he's kind of, like, proven himself once again in the UFC, you know, he got that bad taste out of his mouth.
He went out on two losses.
Sure. He got that kind of washed out of his mouth, and, you know.
And he didn't even lose a title match then. He lost, like, basically a number one contenders match. So sure. It's like, and I get that.
Yeah. So you kind of got rid of that, went back to WWE, making clearly a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now he can just go spend time with his kids and farm.
Which is his true.
Which is, as we learned in the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, that's his true passion. If he could go out in a UFC octagon and move hay around for 5 rounds, yeah, he'd be perfectly at home. He'd
be the happiest man alive.
He would wrestle the crap out of that hay. All right, so now we'll go to Joseph Hargrove's question. Is how do we feel about the draft next week and the possible GMs? We've kind of talked about the GMs a little bit. With them picking the respective GMs, Steph might choose the obvious one, like you said, with Triple H, or something to that effect, and then Daniel Bryan to run SmackDown. If not Daniel Bryan, who would you pick? I feel like I know who you would pick. If you're, like, let's say you got to pick a heel GM for Raw and then a face, you know, GM for SmackDown. Who would you pick?
I mean, how much leeway do I have in my fantasy picking?
Whoever is alive and has a good standing with WWE.
Okay. Sting would be a fun one.
Okay.
But
I'm saying, like, if you were the commissioner of SmackDown. Who would you pick?
In kayfabe or not in kayfabe?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. And I could... And
who do you think the fans would love to see every week
and
as
they,
GM?
And they have to say yes?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. I would honestly go Seth Green.
That's not actually... I wanted to be like make fun of you for like just like, come on, Joel, try. But that's actually pretty good.
The dude would clearly love it. The dude has good standing with WWE. He's sure. making a product for them.
Sure, and they could really... They would hammer that advertising a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That gets you the, hey, Seth Green is on our product every single week. All you guys, remember Austin Powers? That guy, yeah. He's, right. You know, it has a little bit of credibility there.
Really not where I thought you were going to go with that.
Where'd you think I was going to go?
Mick Foley. Bring back the cactus and everything. Like,
I mean, Commissioner Foley would be a delightful happiness. And, sure. like, if he did
if
the...
If we could get Commissioner Foley on SmackDown and then Raw GM Stone Cold, that would be, like, that would be the two best nights of the week.
That would be. I will give you that. That's, like, yeah. I was a little bit trying to stay away from, Attitude Era.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Guys, because there is... Attitude Era is, like, almost two eras behind now, mm-hmm. and we've had... two really weakened eras just mm-hmm. because, oh, they weren't the Attitude Era.
Right, yeah. Like, just for that simple fact alone. And also, you know, the writing and some of the talent were crap, but the majority of it was just, like, people were just recognizing that, this isn't what we liked a few years ago.
Yeah.
Now we're going to hate you for it.
The talent card is stacked now.
Right now, yes.
It's just like...
Absolutely. There is no excuse.
It's almost like cartoonishly overbuilt.
Yes.
It's insane what they have. They're just overflowing. And, like, you see guys that are NXT. You see guys that haven't even debuted on NXT that, like, mm-hmm. you're watching grainy YouTube videos of. And you're like, that guy, can't wait to see him mm-hmm. main event. And so, like...
Oh, sure.
If ever there was a time that was like, we don't need the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And I just, I would worry, especially with this initial thing,
right.
that the Attitude Era would be used kind of as a crutch, which is why I thought Daniel Bryan was a really good pick. He kind of has that same, oh, the guy from yesteryear is back.
And he could finally achieve his goal of building up SmackDown.
I know, right?
He was really all about that when he had his run as the Intercontinental Champion. And as far as like picking which GM for what show, it really depends on exactly how much you're going to see the GM. You
right.
know? Mm-hmm. If we're barely going to see it, then you know, bring back Brad Maddox for who cares? Like, you know. Or if you just want a guy who's going to come out and just announce matches.
That's the thing.
Then you go, like, you know, just go down to NXT, get William Regal. He does a great job of it, and when he needs to cut on a little bit of a promo juice on it, he'll do that.
It comes into what is the difference between a GM and a commissioner.
Sure, and they're really going to have to define that.
Well, they won't. It'll be...
Oh, absolutely, they won't.
And I think we might even get to the point where, like, we get a face GM... for Raw and a heel GM for SmackDown. So if they got some bad news, the heel says it, and if they got some good news, the face says it. You know?
Right, or if you... Because I fully seeing on Raw a face GM with Stephanie. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have that clash going on all the time. And basically a continuation of... Or basically what we assumed what was going to happen when Shane and Stephanie were running Raw.
Right.
You know? Except... they kind of threw us a curve and just had them work actually well together.
Which was solid. I approve.
Yeah, no, it led to some good matches, and, like, they kind of got over, like, their segments.
Yeah.
Got over with me.
Like the you're both doing it, figure it out, was the most groan-inducing...
Oh, sure.
...solution that genuinely, like, now looking back, I was like, okay... I'm still mad that they did that because they did it on a pay-per-view.
Sure.
And you don't take a pay-per-view time for that. But seeing what came out of it, all right. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Or this could just be a way of, like, gradually, like, getting the McMahons off TV again. You know, because Stephanie was off TV for a long time.
Yeah.
Shane, I don't feel like he's quite done yet, you know, so he'll probably hang on a little bit longer, which is probably why they're giving, you know, both him, or giving him a face GM.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll, like, have backstage segments with or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like eventually they'll kind of phase out a little bit, you know, so they don't have to be at every show every week.
Right.
Again, still, like, show up once in a while, but other than that, you know, the GM will probably be the week-to-week face of whatever authority figure.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that as well.
When do you think we will be getting another GM? As fast as they run through GMs, when do you think the next GM, and what show do you think it'll be?
Probably Raw.
Okay.
SmackDown, and again, I can only go off of what we've seen with SmackDown in the past. SmackDown tends to hang on to their GMs for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Booker T was GM for SmackDown for like 6 months before I even noticed, you know, that he was even on that show.
Right.
Whereas Raw will go through...
Well, that was Teddy Long for years.
Teddy Long for years, Vicky for years, then back to Teddy Long, Booker for a little bit, and then I think they just gave up.
Yeah, and then the Super Show happened.
So, Raw will probably be the first. I feel comfortable saying that. I will say we will have a new GM probably within 6 months.
Okay.
I will give them 6 months.
All right.
Which feels pretty lengthy for a GM with WWE.
It does. I mean, that's into...
But it feels like also a fair...
That's into 2017 at this point.
Yes.
That puts a new GM right before the road to WrestleMania.
Which means that they could do a GM power struggle storyline into WrestleMania, mm-hmm. whether having, you know, whether the GMs themselves are involved in a match or a wrestler proxy or something. So I can,
okay.
I can give it about 6 months.
All right.
How long do you think the brand split's going to happen?
I think it'll happen at least a year.
Okay.
I think they have enough stuff to do. I'm worried that the next draft a year from mm-hmm. now, assuming that they keep it in July, which mm-hmm. they don't have any reason to, but assuming they do, I'm worried that once everybody's been drafted,
sure,
the draft of 2017 is going to feel like a giant chore instead of an exciting possibility.
Mm-hmm. I did have an idea.
And I'm worried that's going to kill it, because I think that's what killed it the first time around. As much as Raw was the baby and SmackDown was the...
Right, you know, stepchild.
Exactly.
And everybody who got drafted to SmackDown was, like, their reaction was always like, ugh, really? Like, even on camera, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether that they were told to have that reaction or not.
I think the fact that they had the draft, and the draft has to be exciting and anything can happen... Sure. You got some, like, pretty cringing stuff, like the, you know, even the announcers are part of the draft.
Right, stuff. And they don't tell the announcers that they're being moved to a different show.
Right.
I had an idea.
Okay.
For next year. But it would involve them not having any more NXT call-ups until the next draft. That way, like, kind of like a amateur to pro
mm-hmm.
situation. Like... If they're gonna act like this is serious, then treat it serious. And then have, like, because, you know, you can't have, like, just that at a draft. Like, you've gotta mix up some. So I would say some call-ups from NXT. Because if you kind of, like, bottle that all up and just have it at one point every year, you have a decent amount of, you know, guys and females that are ready to be moved up by then. And then have, like, X number of, like, swap drafts. Or, you know, so-and-so goes from Raw to SmackDown or SmackDown to Raw, but, you know, whatever. And kind of do it like that.
I mean, you could...
And not have it just be people going from one to the other.
If you have the GMs being strong enough characters, or the commissioners, I guess. If you have the commissioners, since they're different things right now, if you have them being strong enough characters, you can have this, like, okay... You get, you know, two NXT draft picks in a row. In exchange, I, the Raw, get to draft one member of
your existing
SmackDown
roster.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, something like that. Some sort of, like, trade kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, and really the only purpose in that is giving weight to the next and, you know, all the drafts from here on out.
Yeah.
You know, make it somewhat structured to where it just doesn't feel like random, you know, just random shuffling.
The draft should not be a one-night thing. It's not in sports. I mean, we talk about the draft building up to it. There's you know, the hours draft, upon hours of just discussion on...
The draft now, the NFL draft now takes place, I think, in 3 days?
Yeah, but, I mean, not
but
only...
I mean, but, yeah.
Not only that, think about, like, all the discussion we have leading up to the draft.
Especially, you know, again, like, especially with the NFL, because it's just like, there's nothing else to talk about, so we're just going to talk about the draft for months.
And so... They have the draft this, you know, this year they're having the draft in July. They've been talking about the draft since late May, early June.
Sure.
In this, like, you know, who could be drafted? These things, like, you know, tag teams could get split up. We don't know. You know, there's
right.
So they've been discussing what could happen on the draft.
Yeah.
For well over a month, and I think that should happen. And you have stuff like this. The whole pitch behind the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens thing is this might be our last time on the same roster.
Sure.
We need to settle this.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that every year, and I think it would not get old. As long enough, as
I feel like that kind of guarantees that they're going to be on different rosters. Because like, that would add an element to it, right?
I think they should be, yeah. I mean, and they will – yeah, because we'll find out on Tuesday that they are on different rosters.
And, so
and then on Sunday, they have their final
– right. So they can full-on – add a little bit more story to it, you know,
right.
A little bit more weight to their match.
Their final match, currently. Sure. But this way, you kind of have, you can do that again and again and again.
Right.
And as long as you have fairly competent storytellers mm-hmm. as the wrestlers, you that won't get that old, I think, for a very long time of, we've been feuding. We're about to go to different rosters.
Right.
We need to settle this.
Yeah. So. I feel like we're going to get that at least a couple times. Or there's going to be a couple match with that kind of added element to it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's going to be the only one.
Yeah.
We might, honestly, I feel like we might get that drama in the main event. You know, because I don't think all three of the former Shield guys are going to go all on the same roster.
No, but they're all still technically eligible for the main title.
Well, sure.
Unless we find
but
out
I'm
that
like,
there's a
basically,
brand new...
it's that's the match that decides where the WWE Championship, like what show that championship goes to.
And then the other show will get a championship next week.
Well, sure, but...
We're starting to run short on time. That's it for the Massacre, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We gotta do the Cruiserweight.
Yes.
So...
First episode, I enjoyed the format they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Referees do like an actual like a
there's a lot of interesting like old school stuff with the shake hands.
Sure.
With there's a time limit on here.
Yeah. Which I'm assuming that's going to come into play at some point in this tournament.
With the both them standing and raising the winner's hand.
Yeah, and the referee being mic'd at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Having them shake hands, you know. Especially like the time limit specifically. I feel like that's going to play into something.
It might.
I am interested. And you watched the entire episode, yes?
Yes.
And this is the first time you've seen a match with Kota Ibushi?
Yes.
What is your impression of him?
It wasn't his best match, was it?
No. not by any stretch.
I
will say that the Samoan gentleman that he was, I can't remember his name, the guy he was in the match with was not really up to par.
The guy that impressed me the most out of nowhere was the luchador, the first match, Gran Metalik.
Gran Metalik.
Metalik.
Yeah. But Gran Metalik, yes. I went in completely blind about him.
Mm-hmm.
And his opponent, to be honest with you, I was actually expecting his opponent to be kind of a you know, botch fest. But they put on a great match.
That match, and I do think the Kota match at the end was probably the strongest match.
Sure.
As a whole. But that first match felt very aware that we are both wrestling in front of our biggest audience.
Yes.
By far that we've ever had. And that's the thing, is like, I remember... You know, both of them now.
Right.
Because they put on a thing. Sure. Like, let me see what else they got.
The one misstep I kind of felt like in the show was the guy from China beating Daivari's brother.
Yeah.
That one, and I know there's a lot of people online that are saying, like, guys, he was clearly nervous. We've seen him before. He's usually much better in the ring. He was kind of, nerves got the best of him. And I'm just sitting there like, I would much rather watch Daivari, like, I can't remember his first name, but I would much rather watch Daivari.
Yeah.
Week to week than this other guy.
So we're getting four different, you know, four matches with eight brand new guys. Next week, right?
Yes.
So we're not seeing any of these winners wrestle for a while.
No. Yeah. Because I was thinking, I was like, there's a lot, like, especially that first round, it's going to take up a lot of these weeks. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's kind of, you know, by design, you know, so they can kind of play this out as long as they, I can't remember how long they said. So, yeah, it'll be a while before we see these guys again. So hopefully by the time, I can't remember his name. When he comes back, you know, he can kind of...
Ho-ho-ho.
There you go. Ho-ho. Hopefully, he's got enough of a kind of a clean slate to go out there and give us a better performance. Because that was the only one where I was like, where, you know, he won, and I was just like, really?
Well, it was interesting that all the... what I would consider all the faces in these four matches won. And... I think we only had one, like, out and out heel wrestler.
Daivari, yeah.
Like, we had some people who were like,
and I appreciated that. Like, all right, he's actually going to, you know, fully commit to that.
Yeah. We had, like, some guys who were a little more rough, some guys who, like,
oh, sure,
yelled at the referee, so they had, like, some heelish tendencies. Yeah. But if you had to split each match into face heel, I feel like the face won every time.
Yeah.
Which was unexpected.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming won't continue.
Sure. I really like Cedric Alexander. I thought he knocked it out of the park. And I'm really interested in the second round match, because that's pretty much already set. Cedric Alexander versus Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
That's going to be a pretty good match.
And that's why I was curious if maybe we'll have a second round match next week or the week after. Just to kind of, like, keep some of these names.
I don't know how far in advance they record. I mean, I know they recorded these, like, a couple weeks ago, and then they did another recording tonight, and that was one of the matches they recorded tonight, was Ibushi versus Cedric Alexander, because our friend Kozone on Facebook, you know, posted somebody, like, posting a photo, and they're like, what an amazing match. Like, you guys have, you got to check it out whenever it airs. I don't know if that means that they're shooting the second round stuff tonight, or they're peppering it in.
Yeah.
It would get super confusing if they kept doing that, though.
Mm-hmm. No, it would, I understand the hesitation to do that.
Yeah, personally, I would rather them, it's like, because the NBA does this every once in a while. There'll still be, like, a conference championship game in the, like, in the West, for instance, is still on game 7.
Mm-hmm.
But the night before that, game 1... No, excuse me, semifinal, whatever. That's how confusing it is.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Like, two different rounds are going on at the same time. Like, game 1 of a new round is starting, like, the day before game 7 of a previous round from a different, on a different branch.
Right.
And I don't like it when that's OCD. I know it is. It's me, but still.
I thought Daniel Bryan did a really good job.
The guy that faced against Grand Metalik, Sace, him hitting that move on the outside,
the shooting star,
and both he and Mauro both yell it in excitement at the same time was about the most adorable thing I've heard.
Yeah,
and it got me into it. I feel like they are a pretty incredible.
That's the biggest thing is. Those two guys on this on this show have got me into every match. They helped get me into every match.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I know we've complained about commentary at great length here, but
it's a great pastime.
It did not, I haven't been able to, like, put into words I think one of the biggest issues is they take me out of the match.
Yes.
they constantly
rather take than me enhance out of the match. They're just background noise a lot of times.
It's not even that. They are actively distracting me from what's happening in the ring.
Fair enough.
And a lot of it is like reminders that this match means this. And it's constantly reaffirming that the match you're watching is not the most important thing that's happening. The most important thing that's happening is what we're talking about.
Sure.
The way the CWC commentary worked, it all worked in service of the match to get me more into the match.
Right.
And that's a trickier thing to do because I've seen, you know, I haven't seen all of these guys wrestle.
Sure.
And most of them, I learned about their existence because they were on this roster.
Right.
So I don't have any strongly formed opinions of them. You know, I've seen some, like, I've researched and looked up some matches.
Sure.
But this is a big make or break point going on with a blank slate.
Right.
And the commentary team is helping everybody right now.
Yeah, I agree. They're bringing a much appreciated energy to every match,
mm-hmm.
to where you're just excited for the next one. I will say, not crazy about the fighter graphic.
No, you don't like that?
Okay.
I like it.
When they're using it to introduce every guy, and the guy's like wearing colors of their
mm-hmm.
their origin. I don't like the graphic that's included in the intro. That feels a little campy, a little anime-ish.
I like it because it's so jarringly different.
Sure.
And I just Raw feels like a really generic show,
mm-hmm.
and it feels very blank slate and basic. This is what a wrestling show looks like. And SmackDown feels like blue Raw.
Sure.
And NXT feels a little more different, and there's a couple of really distinctive things like the ramps on the other side or the hard cameras on the other side.
Yeah.
But then you get things like Lucha looks like Lucha.
Sure.
You're not going to watch Lucha and be like, look at these graphics. It could be Raw. So I really like that the CWC looks different.
Sure.
It has different
absolutely.
It's not just different colors, but it's different graphics and different things.
How long do you think they'll go before they give the little fighter guy a name?
Has the internet given him a name yet?
I'd probably not, but I mean, like, from WWE. Because, like, the intro is really the only thing where I'm just like, okay, come on. Like, but as far as, like, the intro, like, the introduction of the actual fighters of the next match,
mm-hmm.
I love it. It fits perfectly. I just don't like the stuff at the beginning. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the dumb, like, NFL robot from Fox.
Yeah.
And I hate that thing ever since, like, 2000 or 2001, whatever it... It's been going on forever. It's been going on for too long.
I like Football Robot.
I hate Football Robot.
I don't know why.
CBS gets by perfectly fine without a Football Robot.
I think you're a grumpy old man.
So does ESPN.
I think you're a grumpy old man. I like Football Robot.
Okay. All right. Whatever. We definitely need to talk about NXT real quick. Specifically Nakamura.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Why do you have that tone?
So NXT had an episode that was billed as Finn Balor versus Nakamura.
Yes.
That was basically the billing for the whole episode. Watch this episode because this is happening on this episode.
Yes.
Nothing.
Nothing else did happen except for like a Samoan
promo. So they have, a while back they had another thing with Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, thank you.
Yeah.
That took up a whole, you know, and that was the thing. Like, watch that this is a 2 out of 3.
Yes.
Took up the whole map. The whole hour-long thing.
Yes.
So, I'm watching... I did not get to see NXT live. But, as I'm watching CWC, NXT is coming on right after that. So, well, okay.
Oh, whenever you were... It was watching it on...
Yeah, on the network.
On the network.
On the network. And,
okay.
You know, I can just
say, it was like, if you're... Live, it was the opposite direction, opposite way, but okay.
Yeah, I missed that, but I was like, let me tune in to see CWC.
Oh, so you were tuning in live for CWC.
Right.
And it was coming on right after.
And it was coming on right after,
okay.
So, you know, there was that kind of like...
I got you.
Like, you know, okay, I can just continue to watch this stream, like you theoretically want me to.
Yes.
So, of that 52 minutes...
Yes.
The match does not start in the first 25 minutes.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't looking at the clock, but okay.
There is so much...
And plus, we didn't really know until we watched the episode that that was going to be the only match, though.
No, but
unless you had, like, watched spoilers or something.
No, but right? That was... I did not know that would be the only match of NXT this week.
Right.
But I knew that was, like, the build-up, the advertisement for it was tune into NXT for this match.
Yes.
This is the match. We've been building up to it. We knew it was going to be on this episode.
Okay.
Here we go. I don't necessarily, like, I don't necessarily need them to, like, you should have fought longer.
Sure.
Or, you know, why? Because you fight as long as the match is good, and then you end that. Right. Like, there's definitely some matches I'm like, that did not do me that well.
Sure.
So, I'm not saying, like, that was the blanket issue, but I was really, by the time the match started, I was kind of, like, done with that episode of NXT.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, even, like, the package beforehand didn't get you back into it?
I mean, it tried. Like, that's not something I need a package for.
Okay.
I knew why, like, I intellectually knew that was going to be an amazing match. These guys are going to fight. It's going to be amazing.
I feel like you might be the only guy in the world that's having this issue. Because honestly, I didn't even, like, I was ready to go. Then again, I'm huge mark for both these guys, specifically Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the issue for me, or what?
And I don't have an issue with the match.
I've got one issue.
What's that?
And that's the dumb commercial breaks. Did they need two commercial breaks in that match? And that's why, honestly, because this should have been match of the year. It doesn't, mostly, not really to any fault of their own, but the atmosphere in Dallas with Nakamura and Sami Zayn was on a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's why that match, it pulls ahead. Also, that match didn't have two commercial breaks that kind of took you out of that match, and then you had to refocus after the commercial break.
See, I never got into the match as much as I knew I should have.
Right.
Because...
I understand they have to do commercial breaks because it airs overseas on actual TV over there, so they have to have commercial breaks. I get that, but still.
But I felt like it became very clear, like, okay, these guys, this is the build-up.
Mm-hmm.
By the time, you know, we're 10 minutes into the show, that's probably going to be the only match on this show. So, okay, let's go.
Right.
And at that point, he's like, all right, we're getting a big, long, solid match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, another 5 minutes
go. Well,
and then another 5 minutes.
Both guys have pretty lengthy entrances.
Yeah.
On top of that,
they do. And and part of it is the awareness that NXT is not live and is an hour long.
Right.
Because I don't have that issue so much on their live shows.
Sure.
Because I'm like, this is going to go as long as it goes. Because
It's on their network.
It's on their network, and they go long sometimes.
Right.
It's not an uncommon thing. But just with each... I ended up not watching it at that point. Just because, like, I got a little bit into the match. I got to where Nakamura, you know, puts his head on the belly and wiggles his arms. And I was just like, I'm not feeling it. Like, the whole... The delay in the match actually starting kind of just it killed all the hype buildup for me.
So you didn't really watch the match?
No, I went back and watched the match.
Okay, like, so you've seen the whole thing?
Yeah, I've seen the whole thing.
Okay, all right, just making sure.
I mean,
how dare you pass judgment on something you didn't even watch the whole thing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because, again, this isn't really about the match. This is about... The episode structure.
Okay.
Which it's weird because, like, it's a criticism of NXT, which, you know, I'm used to be like, NXT does everything right.
Few and far between kind of situation.
Yeah.
Do you think you would be or would you have some fonder feelings about this match if it had been at a TakeOver special?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, without question.
Okay.
I think that...
Because honestly, it felt weird that it wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
But I understood, like, the timing.
They did say there was partway through the match...
Like, this would be a great TakeOver main event. And I'm sitting there like, well, why isn't it?
Which was a weird thing to say, almost, because, like...
Especially
with the whole Roman and Seth thing, where they're like, a match worthy of WrestleMania!
And they're like, yeah, okay, then why we're having this, you know, battlefield front, whatever.
And, like, there's you know... Shouldn't you pretend that your other shows are still worthy of good matches? Like, we know that they're not, but...
Yeah, and again, like, it runs into, like, it's weird timing, because clearly Finn Balor, spoiler alert, is going to be in the draft next week. And so they really want a Nakamura-Finn Balor match in NXT, where it would have, like, at this point, would carry the most weight, and take over... Or the last TakeOver, they just had to have one more Balor-Joe match, which was great, and I'm glad that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I almost kind of wish they just had a rematch between Finn and Joe at a just regular NXT show.
Yeah, and then did the...
And then did Nakamura and Finn. But then they're like, well, we have to kill a month with Finn. I was like, yeah, you could find something else to do. But still... yeah, it would be different.
Yeah. I
get what you're saying.
It felt like there was a lot of busy work at the beginning. Because... And
when you think of it that way, the Joe promo just kind of felt like he was killing time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like this whole, like, mini-feud he's going to have with Rhino.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I was also with Rhino, which... And I'm pretty big on Rhino. I like Rhino. I like that he's come back. I like what he's doing.
If I lived in Michigan, I would vote for him as well. I forgot what he's running for, but he's running for something in Michigan.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, he's... I like what he's doing.
Yeah.
This isn't, like, his second shot. Like, no. He's definitely shooting to the top this time.
Yeah.
No, he's you know, getting a chance.
He's an ambassador, essentially.
He's getting a chance. He's getting to work with some people. They're getting a chance to work with a guy who's got some, you know, really solid experience.
I was going to say, like, not like Joe needs... experience.
No.
But it's still a fun thing to watch.
And so, you know, I'm perfect, but that's the thing, is like, yeah, but this isn't going anywhere beyond the, you know, 3 to 5 weeks that it'll need to...
1 week.
You think?
No, I've read spoilers, because they just did a taping yesterday for NXT, and Joe's already moved on. The next week was taped like a month ago,
mm-hmm.
and then after that is when they did they'll start the matches that they taped yesterday.
I know I was being generous with 3 to 5. I didn't know I was being that generous.
I believe they're just gonna have that one match. I believe. So, I could be wrong. But again, Rhino's running for office, so he can't really stay in NXT for too long.
But it felt like it should have been an episode long match. And I don't want to dictate, like, the, you know, because the match should have been long, the match should have been
mm-hmm.
for these guys to put on a good match.
Sure.
And if they had,
because
forced an hour timeline on them, it might have mm-hmm. been, it might have taken away from the match.
Right. Because I will say this, that the match that did take the entire episode, the 2 out of 3 falls with Joe and Sami Zayn, it did feel like a little thin after a while.
It felt like an hour long.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, And I think about the really famous 60-minute Iron Man match.
Yeah, that one felt like it took forever.
Well, it weirdly felt like, you know, at about the 20-30-minute mark, it felt like, this is taking forever.
Yes.
But then at about the 60-minute mark, you're like, I can't believe it's been an hour already.
Right, yeah. They have to get over that certain hurdle.
Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing happened with this 2 out of 3. And I think that the fact that it was 2 out of 3 helped. But mm-hmm. the same thing, like this has been going on for a really long time.
This is probably why it's been so long since we saw an hour-long Iron Man match.
Because
the half-hour one was fantastic. But again, mm-hmm. it was more credit to the two females that were involved.
Right. So maybe if there had been, like... I don't know. I don't know what I wanted. Because also, again, that match clearly has to end the show.
Sure.
And... was still a fairly long match. Like,
yeah.
As much as I'm complaining about, like, why was it so short, it was still a longer than average match.
Sure.
Yeah. So I felt like the material before the actual match was poorly handled in a way that started me off in the match on a sour note. And then in the end, and I got like maybe 3-5 minutes of the match, I was like, match doesn't deserve this attitude from me. Let me me leave it and watch it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because clearly I don't have the same takeaway from that. But I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And it also came on the heels, like I was watching them swapped,
right,
instead of watching NXT first. So
yeah.
I already had an hour of solid wrestling that I was really pleased with under my belt.
Yeah, and I had watched it the way, our Lord and Savior Vince McMahon intended. And I watched NXT first. Like, I didn't watch it live either, but I still watched NXT first.
Yeah. So
you should learn a valuable lesson and watch things the way that Vince wants you to watch it.
We talked about the best thing Raw's done recently is put their main event at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, it goes on to 11, but we all know that the biggest deal happens at 10 o'clock
instead of 11. The last couple months, yeah.
Episode structure is critically important.
Yeah.
That has improved Raw just flat out. Raw is better because the biggest deal is at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Even if you're not just because, like, oh, now you know it's safe to turn off. Even if you watch the whole thing, it is a better 3-hour product because of the structure of the episode.
Right. It you go through...
And I think NXT hit a rare sour note in their episode structure.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I can be okay with that.
Okay.
All right.
So, all right. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything that hits your brain while you're watching the draft... Send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe and get a new episode every week. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of interaction really helps out podcast metrics on the iTunes store.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Just kind of keep up with what else we're doing.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah.